every Wednesday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern time. We're 10 minutes behind schedule, so we had some technical difficulties. But we are back on
it's time
top
for
of
the
right
Forbes
now, so
Sports Money Podcast.
To bring
Forbes
you the
Money,
show.
Your two favorite things.
Now.
Here's
as
your
I
host,
this,
Anthony DeMauro.
Technical difficulties. Once again, stellar stuff. And that's purely sarcasm, folks. But I'm looking forward to talking some sports with you guys, answering your questions as I do each and every show. We do this every Wednesday, folks, and we are excited. This is the 10th episode of the Forbes Sports Money Podcast, but you know, a little technical difficulties to usher in our 10th episode. But I'm definitely happy to be back on the air here. Last time we talked, we were at the WrestleMania special about a week and a half ago, WrestleMania 32. But we're on now, folks. And right now, I'm just tweeting out to everybody about the technical difficulties so we can get everybody back on point here. So we're going to be talking some Major League Baseball. We're going to be talking, of course, some WrestleMania fallout and, of course, some other news that is trending around the sports world. We got the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs on our doorstep. It's very, very exciting. I love when I see trending on Twitter because it's the Cup. It is an awesome, awesome thing. And, you know, as a Penguins fan, I'm getting a little excited. I'm getting a little anxious for the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. I think it's one of the more exciting times for, you know, the NHL and the hockey world and the sports world in general. We get the NHL playoffs. We get the NBA playoffs served to us all at once. So there's some big things coming out in the sports world. I mean, we're pretty much going to have our plate full. You know, Kobe Bryant's last game and the Warriors' quest for the record, you know, record wins in a season. And yeah, I got to say, it's an exciting time to be a sports fan, especially in basketball. And you know, the season the Warriors have had, it's been amazing. And I, you know, we had this argument about, I think there's a debate whether the 95-96 Bulls would be able to compete with the Warriors. We talked about that in the last show, so I will not rehash that. Two shows ago, we put out a nice poll. We got your feedback on it after Scottie Pippen came out and made the comments that he did, basically, you know, igniting the fire of debate, saying, hey, our Bulls could beat the Warriors. So, but the significance about today in sports is we're going to have two things going on. Kobe Bryant's last game, one of the greatest players to ever lace up his shoes and step onto a basketball court. Kobe Bryant, long career. I think a lot of, I'm looking at this right now, I think a lot of people are going to have mixed emotions about Kobe Bryant, the character, the personality, the person throughout his career. You know, he's had some digressions a little bit, you know, if you're personally looking at him. But as a player, he's definitely one of those guys that's going to go down as an all-time great now, you know, winning the championships he did, being in Los Angeles and playing for the storied Lakers franchise. You know, and if you go on social media right now, you're going to see that mixed bag. And you know, the Lakers are going to be facing the Utah Jazz. It's a sold-out crowd. It's going to be one of the most heavily covered regular season games in recent NBA history. Between 400 and 500 media members are issued credentials, and that's according to Lakers' longtime publicist John Black, who called the figures completely unprecedented for a regular season game during his 26th tenure with the Lakers organization. And that group includes about 60 international media members, and that's according to NBA spokesperson Tim Frank. So the coverage is going to be there. And this is the thing, for a regular season game at the Staples Center, the Lakers can at most accommodate between 225 and 250 media members. So it's going to be a very, very packed press room. And some of those media members will represent about 15 countries, including Brazil, Australia, South Korea, the Philippines, Turkey, China, Taiwan, France, Italy, Argentina, Chile, Germany, England, Japan, and Mexico. And that's astronomical. And, you know, just to comparative, according to Frank, he said an average regular season game, five or six international media members might be credentialed. And in Los Angeles, that figure is routinely 10 to 12. So this is a big deal. And, you know, we're looking at Kobe Bryant, who, you know, this wasn't the greatest season for Bryant, but, you know, he's probably picking not the perfect time, but the last right time he could to exit the game because his numbers are going to continue to drop here. You know, he's 37 years old. He's going to be 38. 16.9 points per game, 2.8 assists, and 3.7 rebounds per game. I mean, field goal percentage for this year, you're looking at 35%, well below his career average of 45%. So you're looking at a drop right there in his last couple of games. You know, he had 35 points against Houston on the 10th. You know, shooting 46% from the field. So he's capable of putting up those big games. They're few and far between right now, but I think he's choosing the right time to exit because the Lakers are in rebuild mode. They're not going to win anything. They're 16-65 right now. They're playing a Utah Jazz team that's 40-41. So the Jazz need to win this game. The Lakers don't. I anticipate Kobe Bryant getting all the shots in the world he wants. I'm sure he wants to go out, not like he did on Tuesday against the Clippers, dropping just 6 points on 2-for-12 shooting from the field. So he's not going to want to go out on that. I'm going to anticipate a 24-point performance, matches jersey number, and you know that's going to be the story for Kobe Bryant. But also tonight is you know, and share your thoughts with me on Twitter at Anthony DeMauro about your thoughts about Kobe Bryant. Are you tuning into the last game? Are you interested? What's your thoughts on his career? And basically, how are you going to view Kobe Bryant? Where do you rank him all time? I mean, to me, the greatest player of all time is Michael Jordan. The most dominant that I've seen in my lifetime. Again, I'm prefacing all this by saying in my lifetime. If you're asking me who's the most dominant player in my lifetime, you could take a look at Michael Jordan. But I just when Shaq was in his prime, you couldn't do anything about that. There was nothing. And, you know, Jordan could have an off game. You could put somebody on Jordan who can cause him fits. They had to invent a foul method to put Shaq on the line to stop him from just – he was just such a physical force. I've never seen anybody be as dominant, as physically imposing and as physically dominant as Shaquille O'Neal was in his prime. So Kobe Bryant definitely, you know, like I said, Michael Jordan, the greatest player I've ever watched. Kobe Bryant probably in my top five. You know, I want to say one of the players I definitely, LeBron James has got to be up there for me in my lifetime. I'm sure when it's said and done, Kevin Durant will be up there. You know, Larry Bird, I saw the tail end of his career. I didn't really see too much of his career, but, you know, he's definitely up there as far as I'm concerned. Hakeem Olajuwon, just because of everything he did, he just kind of, you know, redefined the center position. So I would put those players there, and I would also put Michael Jordan at the top no matter what. But another game going on tonight is, as we all know, the chase for the record, the 72-9 Golden State Warriors, who a couple nights ago edged the Memphis Grizzlies. They're going to battle back against them. 42-39 is their mark on the season. 10:30 p.m. tonight. It's at home. Golden State has been dominant at home. This is going to be a huge game, and, you know, it's going to be hard for, you know, where's the coverage going to go? Obviously, Kobe Bryant's last game, but you have, this game could mean history. So if you're an NBA fan, rarely do you have last day of the regular season, last games of the regular season. Rarely do you have opportunities like this, and the NBA has got to be thrilled. Now, speaking of the Grizzlies, you know, Matt Barnes, Memphis forward, never wanted to shy away from speaking his mind. He said, quote, "They're chasing history. We have a chance to interrupt history playing in Golden State. I know how alive that crowd is going to be, and I'm going to be very excited to be part of that game." Now, the Grizzlies seem very, very confident that they can knock the Warriors off the path. And imagine the boost it's going to give Memphis moving forward if they're able to kind of interrupt history, as Barnes put it, and put the Warriors out of the record books as far as best season ever. They're going to be tied with the Bulls for the best regular season ever, but they won't be number one. They'll be tied for number one. They will be sole position to number one. And although that's still quite a feat, you have to kind of feel like they're just coming short of the big picture, just coming short, a little short of the big goal. And I definitely think that if that happens, Memphis Grizzlies build a whole ton of momentum. And we're going to be talking more about the Warriors, I'm sure, as the season, you know, we're just entering the NBA playoffs. It's not like if the Warriors win or lose, it's going to alter our coverage of them in the playoffs. I mean, this is a team, the next storyline is going to be, how did the regular season pushing for the record, whether they tied it or broke that record, did it affect them in the playoffs? Did they sacrifice some things in the regular season, opportunities to rest, opportunities to gear up and kind of collect themselves heading into the playoffs, or do they push too hard and it ends up costing them a shot at another championship? That's going to be interesting to see. So I am very interested to see that storyline. And, you know, we're going to be definitely covering that. We're going to definitely be talking about that in the weeks to come. We're going to have a long NBA postseason, folks. These things usually spread out the entire month of May sometimes and early June. So we're going to be looking forward to that. And the NHL playoffs, of course, I'm going to dedicate a lot of the show next week to talking because we're going to be in the NHL playoffs, in the NBA playoffs. Definitely something we're going to be looking at. But I want to switch gears a little bit, and I want to talk about the NFL draft. Now, the NFL draft, you're getting all your mock drafts right now, folks. You're getting all your mock drafts. You're getting all the trade speculation. I've digested it too. But that number one pick, I can tell you right now, I don't think Tennessee is at all interested in remaining in that top spot. They do want a left tackle, but I believe they believe they can move down and still secure that left tackle. So who's trading up into that top spot? Who wants a quarterback right there? That's what I think. If you're trading up, you're getting a quarterback or you're going after Jalen Ramsey. Now, this is not going to alter what the Browns are going to do at number two. Because I think the Browns, it's pretty much Goff or Wentz. I think Carson Wentz gets the edge there. But who are some candidates to move up, trade up with the Tennessee Titans into that top spot? I'm going to give you one. The Dallas Cowboys. I think the Dallas Cowboys could definitely make a move to trade up. I think going after one of those quarterbacks that I mentioned. Now, they're already tying the Cowboys to a couple of quarterbacks at their own spot, but if they really are in love with one of these quarterbacks, you trade up and get it. And I think Jerry Jones, he's a gambler. I think he can gamble here. Dallas, though, not really. I don't think it's a heavy favorite just due to their position to move up, but I think if they're going to go quarterback, they're going to want to make a splash right here. Another team that could move up is the Philadelphia Eagles. I know the Eagles, they wanted to move up last year. It's kind of like deja vu all over again. They wanted to trade up Tennessee last year in order to get Marcus Mariota. That ended up working out in Tennessee's favors. They did not, you know, go for the bait right there. Eagles tried hard to push up, even to the number two spot. It did not go according to plan. So the Eagles, here we are again. Are they going to be talking to Tennessee about moving up into that top spot again? But I think that's very likely they could. You know, there's reports saying that they're in love with Ezekiel Elliott. If they stand pat, I still think Eagles go quarterback, and I think that would be the move right here. And you know, if you're moving up into the top spot, folks, you're going quarterback. You're going quarterback. So that's Eagles, you know, are they going to go for the top spot? No, but I could see the Eagles moving up to get one, either Goff or Wentz. That makes a ton of sense if you're rebuilding. You get one of these quarterbacks now. I don't think either Goff or Wentz is going to be there when the Eagles pick, so they're going to have to move up a couple of spots. It eliminates the number one position as far as I'm concerned, the number one pick as far as I'm concerned. And this also allows, this is a great trade partner for Tennessee, because dropping down to where the Eagles pick, you can still secure that left tackle. Now, it's not going to be Tunsil, but it could be another highly regarded left tackle. And I think you're going to be able to recoup an additional pick on that. That's perfect for Tennessee. So I think Eagles are the most sensible trade partner for Tennessee. Either or, though, I could see the Eagles moving up and trying to move up anyway to get one of those quarterbacks. If they do not, I see them staying put and getting Ezekiel Elliott. Which brings me to my next team, a team that had scratchingly swapped first-round picks with the Philadelphia Eagles, the Miami Dolphins. They love Ezekiel Elliott. That makes a ton of sense for them. I can see the Dolphins moving up. Now, here's where it becomes interesting for the Miami Dolphins. Do they move up and get Ezekiel Elliott, depending on the draft position? Who do they trade with? And there's a couple questions right there. Maybe San Diego is a team that they could partner up on and get a trade with so they can go up rather high and get their hands on someone of the caliber that of Ezekiel Elliott. Now, could they be interested in number one overall pick? I don't think the Dolphins are going to pay that type of ransom to get up there. But if they do, I could see Jalen Ramsey being the pick. And that makes a lot of sense for the Dolphins. They have a big hole at corner. The defense needs a little bit of a rebuild. And if you don't go for Ezekiel Elliott right in the and you can't trade up for him, you definitely would be making a steal and a hell of a pick by going up to get Jalen Ramsey, who could be a game changer at corner for them for many years to come. Did the Dolphins do that? I don't think that's likely. I think they're going straight in at Ezekiel Elliott, the running back. I think he's definitely going to be, you know, the Ohio State running back. The Eagles love him. I think that's all bluster coming out. I think that's all scuttlebutt. I think that's all hype. I don't think there's any real truth to that. So are the Eagles really in love with Ezekiel? I think yes, but I think the Eagles have other holes. I think quarterback is one. I think linebacker, they could use that. They could use defensive line. You win in the trenches in the NFL. The Eagles know that. Their offensive line was very poor. Their defensive line, not as great last year as they may have looked on paper. So I could see the Eagles making moves in that direction. I don't know if Ezekiel Elliott, you know, let's face it, they got Ryan Matthews on their radar, on the team already. And I just don't know if that makes sense. You know, sure, if Elliott's there and you really believe best player available, he is the best player available, then yeah, I can get that pick. I can get on board with that. But if you're asking me, do I really believe that the Eagles are going to put all their eggs in the Ezekiel Elliott basket, considering they have so many bigger glaring needs at other important positions on the field, especially in the trenches? I don't believe that one. I just don't think. You know, it seemed like the Eagles were making a conscious effort this offseason to rid themselves of some bad decisions. And I'm not saying Ezekiel Elliott to the Eagles at number eight is a bad decision. It's not. Elliott projects to be a very, very big-time player. But do you make that big-time player at the expense of addressing very critical needs on your team? Critical, folks. I mean, you're going to have the defensive line, the offensive line, both need addressing. You need a quarterback for the future to build around. You don't know what you're going to be doing next year, what your position is going to be next year. If you have an opportunity to get either Goff or Wentz, I think the Eagles roll the dice on that. I think they move up, and they've been very aggressive on the trade market. So that tells me they're not going to be trigger shy on pulling the trigger on a trade that launches them into a top spot. Now, what that ransom is that the Titans are looking for remains to be seen. But I think it could be worth it. So, again, those are my candidates to move up. The Dolphins can move up. The Eagles could move up. Another team that could move up that I think definitely may be able to is Houston Texans. Texans need to rewrite some draft woes. I think they can move up again. Could, you know, I know they gave that contract to Osweiler. Maybe they look at a quarterback. Maybe they look at a corner. Maybe they look at a wide receiver. I think wide receiver would be a great move for the Texans. And, you know, wide receiver is a very weak class in this draft. It is. It's a huge. It's not as strong as it was last year. And, you know, I got to say that, you know, if you want that quarterback, you're going to have to overpay for it in terms of a trade. Now, does that mean the Texans take that big? You know, DeAndre Hopkins, they got a new receiver. But big time receiver in DeAndre Hopkins. They got a new quarterback. So it's going to be interesting. And the Browns, could they move up? Absolutely. I could see the Browns move up number one spot if they're afraid another team moves up and takes, say, Carson Wentz. And I could see that. And, you know, I could see the Titans just moving down number one spot and picking up an extra, you know, that 32nd pick. And you still get Laremy Tunsil. So that could make sense right there. San Diego Chargers could move up just as much as they can move down. They need offensive line help. The Dallas Cowboys, that's a team I already said. The Jacksonville Jaguars, who would love to get their hands on Jalen Ramsey. They can give up the number five. They can give up a second. And the Titans would get DeForest Buckner, who they like as well. The Ravens could move up. I think the Ravens Definitely Laramie Tunsil makes a ton of sense for the Ravens. They have the fifth overall. They have a draft pick of value that they can offer to the Titans. And that's going to become interesting. You know, Eagles, like I said, they could trade their number 8th and 77th and 100th pick, take Ronnie Stanley. They would get Ronnie Stanley, and the Eagles would get the number 1 pick and the 140 and take Jared Goff. Now, I'm looking at sportsillustrated.com, and they have a lot of these trade scenarios that I'm thinking of lined up here, and I'm going off of some of the compensation that they are outlining here. And I think a lot of it is very agreeable. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers can move up, get Jalen Ramsey. You know, Jameis Winston has been very public about wanting to get Jalen Ramsey on that team. This allows the Titans to stay in the number 9th spot. They could swap picks with them and pick up a couple more assets. And the Buccaneers get to take Jalen Ramsey. The New York Giants, who can move up, they need offensive line help. And the Los Angeles Rams. How about the Rams? That's one team right here that could definitely use the help. They can move up, get Jared Goff, get Carson Wentz. This allows the Titans to move down to number 15. I don't know how, you know, maybe the 49ers. I know there's some, you know, mentioning of the Niners being in that class. But as far as it's shaking down right here, you know, there's going to be a lot of moving, a lot of shaking. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to shake out to be very, very, very interesting come draft day. I think this is a strong likelihood that the Tennessee Titans move out of that top spot. And I think it's going to be a team that you're going to see in between the 10 and 15 range that does it, that pulls the trigger. Now, the Raiders could move down. That's a candidate to move down because I think, you know, Laquan Treadwell. And I think you got to beat the Saints here. You know, I think they could be a candidate to get Treadwell. I know they want to get the defense. But that could be a possibility right there. You know, Miami's not going to take them at 13. You know, the Oakland's not going to take them at 14, and they are a candidate to move down. So if you want Laquan Treadwell, who is the best receiver in the draft, in the first round of the draft, and in the entire draft, you move up to make that pick right there. That is a spot right there. You watch number 14, what the Raiders do. I'm telling you, folks, something's going to be moving. Something's going to be shaking right there. That is something I definitely want you guys to pay attention to as we move forward closer and closer to the draft. All right, I do have some sad news to share. Those of you who are fans of ECW back in the day when it was really good, fans of pro wrestling in general, you heard the news this morning. Balls Mahoney, performer known as Balls Mahoney, Jonathan Rechner, found dead at the age of 44. Now, we all know, you know, the ECW originals, Balls Mahoney, you know, there's been a couple of passings this year, very young, very young. And it's these guys are really suffering. And, you know, I got to say, it's sad. You know, 44 years old is ridiculously young. Ridiculously young. And I don't know what you do. I mean, what is this wrestling community? What is the fallout of all this? Why? What is causing this? You know, there's a lot of addiction to pain pads. And I'm not saying this is relative to Balls Mahoney's passing, but, you know, we know there's been rampant drug use and mostly pharmaceuticals in the wrestling community, and it's just continuing to rear its ugly head. And unfortunately, it's costing people their lives at a young age of 44 years old. That is way too young. I mean, it takes a lot to really wear yourself down to where you're dying at age 44, unless it's a drug overdose. Now, there's no details coming out about how or what, you know, what caused the death of Balls Mahoney, but it's definitely a big loss to the wrestling community simply because he has just been such a staple in Extreme Championship Wrestling when he was in there, and former WWE performer as well. And the WWE.com put out the statement this day saying that WWE is saddened to learn of reports that Jonathan Rechner, best known for competing in ECW as Balls Mahoney, has passed away. WWE extends its condolences to the Rechner's family, friends, and fans. So once again, he passed away at the age of 44. We send our condolences right here from the Forbes Sports Money podcast. So we talked wrestling a little bit on a somber note. We talked some basketball. We got some more news to share out there. And this one shouldn't come as a surprise. It really shouldn't. It shouldn't come as a surprise at all. So the Sacramento Kings have had rather a roller coaster ride with head coach George Karl, and a tumultuous tenure, I think, would be the best way to put this. But at the end of the day, it doesn't, you know, they signed him to that deal. They're going to have to pay him. The Kings just doesn't, it's not working out for them. And you can blame every part of that organization and just a little bit of bad luck too, some bad karma hitting them. I don't know what the case is, but it just doesn't ever seem to go well for the Kings. They're going to fire George Karl at the end of the season. There are some reports coming out there that they're going to fire him at the end of the season. I heard this as well this morning, that is the plan. You know, the Kings flirted with it in early February, that, you know, they were around the All-Star break, that, you know, they might fire Karl. And after a sit-down meeting with general manager Vlade Divac, Karl pledged to make some changes to address growing concerns with the organization regarding, you know, defensive schemes, practice policies. The Kings ultimately decided against firing him. He nearly lost his job in November, had a very public dispute with DeMarcus Cousins. The Kings are 33-48. They'll miss the playoffs for the 10th consecutive season, despite expectations from their owner to end that drought. And they're going to be moving into a new arena next season. And this is what's crazy. The Kings' next coach, if they do fire the 64-year-old Karl, and remember, keep in mind, Karl has an estimated $10 million in guaranteed money left on his original four-year, $15 million contract. He was hired during the 2015 All-Star break to replace then-interim coach Tyrone Corbin, and that was right before Divac was kind of situated as the Kings' decision-maker, lead decision-maker in that area. But if Karl does get fired, which it looks like he's going to get fired, the next coach will be their league most ninth since 2006, the 2006-2007 season. And that's the season that started the postseason drought. Their ninth coach, folks. That is crazy. But George Karl, I mean, the Sacramento Bee first reported this on Wednesday. Karl will be fired one day after the Kings' season finale against the Rockets. That goes on tonight. This is, and ESPN's now confirming the sources. I heard it as well. This is going to be interesting to see how this plays out for George Karl. So I got to say, I don't know where the Kings go from here. I mean, I could think Tom Thibodeau would be great for there. You know, you have DeMarcus Cousins. You can kind of put that defensive mindset into these guys. But it's just crazy because Rondo had beef with him. Cousins had beef with him. He's just a square peg you're trying to fit into a circle hole. I don't think it works out at all. And I don't know, are the Kings capable of making the right decision here? Are they? Because I don't think they are. I don't think they are. It's crazy to me. I'm walking on Twitter right now, and Mamba Day, hashtag Mamba Day, is the number one trend. It's promoted by Nike Basketball, so it's definitely artificially put up there. But you're seeing a whole bunch of teams. You know, I just saw the Cleveland Indians tweeted out a picture of Kobe Bryant in a Cleveland Indians uniform. This is crazy. We saw something similar when Derek Jeter was retiring, the big tour he went through, his retirement tour, so to speak. So we've seen this before. We're not completely foreign to it. But this is crazy. You know, social media is just taking over everything. And Kobe Bryant, this is your day. This is your day. This is your day. I like I said, 24 points. I'm calling it right now. 24 points. All right, folks, I'm going to be answering your questions shortly, but I do want to remind you to go on over to Forbes.com/sportsmoney. There's some interesting articles going on in the world of Forbes Sports Money. And I got to say, I had some articles. I got some articles coming up very, very soon about this week. I'm going to be releasing some new stuff within the next week. So you guys stay tuned there. We got some other contributors that are putting up some great stuff. And, you know, one of the things that I got to say, Alex Reamer put out an article. We all know about the Bomani Jones Caucasians T-shirt. There's a story behind that. And according to Alex Reamer on Forbes Sports Money, nobody knew that Bomani Jones would wear Kirby's signature T-shirt. I think during a guest appearance of Mike and Mike, sporting a dark blue short sleeve shirt with the word Caucasians written in the center, a white faced Chief Wahoo, which is the Indians' longtime logo, was placed below it. And you know, Jones said to have a problem with the logo of this would be have a problem with the Indians. But if you're quiet about the Indians but have something to say about my shirt, I think it's time for some introspection. It caused a stir on social media. Jones was trending nationally on Twitter. ESPN reportedly told him to cover it up. A network spokesman told the Washington Post ESPN wanted to, quote unquote, keep the focus on the topics of the day. And, you know, according to Kirby, who started making the T-shirts back in 2006, the provocative design is intended to bring awareness to the issue. Quote, Bomani Jones couldn't have been a more perfect spokesman for the intent of the shirt. It's not an angry thing. It's more about making a point in a humorous way. It's just holding up a mirror saying, hey, I'm wearing this, and you're broadcasting Indians games with the same kind of imagery. What is the problem? What is it? Why is this a problem and that not a problem? It's about flipping the image on it. Now, again, you guys can go on over to Forbes Sports Money. There's a great article by Alex Reamer, the story behind Bomani Jones's Caucasian shirt. Definitely recommend reading that. And then there's something else. You know, the NFL, we all heard the Raiders owner Mark Davis is going to make a trip this month to Las Vegas to start talking about getting a stadium in Las Vegas. Now, this is going to be a big topic of conversation moving forward, especially if something ends up happening. Now, Darren Heitner over on Forbes Sports Money, he asked the question, what's the big deal with a pro sports team in Las Vegas? Now, he talks about, he mentions the T-Mobile Arena could cater to a National Basketball League or a National Hockey League team, but a National Football League team may be a little bit different. We'll see if that can happen. But this is what's crazy about it, because you're putting the NFL in a gambling – the gambling mecca of the world. And as that, not only from the league perspective, I mean, they're going to be, you know, if people are going to come down on the fantasy draft industry, and then you're going to, in the next move, put an NFL team right in Las Vegas, it's kind of contradictory in my opinion. But it's going to be interesting. And the NFL, which of course always wants to protect the shield, now you're going to put this kind of murky, and I'm not saying Las Vegas is a poor city to live, but there's a lot of temptation in Las Vegas. You have illegal prostitution, you have illegal gambling, you have a lot of temptation in Las Vegas. And let me tell you something, I know what temptation is like. I live here in South Florida, about 20 minutes from Miami. South Beach is not that far from me. It's a stone's throw from me. Trust me, temptation exists down here. But this is a big distraction, Las Vegas, because let's face it, most players in the NFL, most athletes in general, when they get out of their sport, what do they struggle with? And it's money. So you're going to put them in the biggest temp. You're going to put young adults, fresh out of college, some of them still teenagers. You're going to be putting them in the National Football League, handing them a big paycheck, big salary. They're going to be on top of the world, the epicenter of sports, spotlight glaring on them. And you're going to put them in Las Vegas, where that temptation is at a fever pitch. It doesn't make sense. And additionally, is the NFL saying that they are supportive of gambling when they're setting up shop? And they approved the setup shop in Las Vegas, the gambling mecca of the world, the gambling capital of the world. And then let's talk about, you're a fan of, let's just say hypothetically, the Raiders move there. They become the Las Vegas Raiders. Has a nice little ring to it, but the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, what about the players on that team? Is it going to be counterproductive to their development, not only as the players, but as men and as human beings and character, the development of their character, by putting them so young, so rich in an area just like this? Then does it start affecting the play on the field and the Raiders brand? Because I'm telling you, we see athletes every day getting arrested for some kind of behavioral issue, drinking, drugs. Josh Gordon, they're going to uphold the suspension. They're going to uphold the suspension and deny him reinstatement. He failed another drug test. Immaturity. This is going to be paramount of these players who most of them are immature coming in. And you're going to have ego and you're going to be rich and you're going to have that kind of mentality where it's like, I rule the world, and you're putting them in Las Vegas. So is this something as a Raiders fan? And I'm just using the Raiders as an example. This could, Las Vegas could end up being a completely different team. Maybe Tennessee moves out of Tennessee and brings the Titans to Las Vegas. Who knows? But whatever team goes there, you got to ask yourself, is that the type of environment you want your team's players to be in? Because it's very risky. It's rolling the dice. And, you know, NBA commissioner, you know, NHL has been considering an application for Las Vegas to hope an expansion team. NBA commissioner Adam Silver has appeared to be the most liberal of the pack, showing a softening stance on sports betting legalization across the United States. He said, I think sports betting may happen sooner than anyone would have thought, but we'll see. It depends what party is controlling Congress and who the president is. Now, that's what Silver said on SXSW. He went on to say, but I think it makes perfect sense, especially when all these jurisdictions are in need of tax dollars with crumbling infrastructures, that if people don't want to raise taxes over here and if people are going to continue to gamble on sports illegally, let's protect the integrity of the league, let's regulate it, and let's tax it. Now, that makes perfect sense, the way Silver puts that. NFL commissioner actually did not dismiss Las Vegas as a possibility being home for an NFL team. He's not cheering it out. He didn't dismiss it, though. So that's going to be interesting. But again, you guys want all the details, go on over, read Darren's article. It's called What's the Big Deal with a Pro Sports Team in Las Vegas, over on Forbes.com/sports money. So here we go, folks. I asked you, I do this every single week, I asked you to tweet me your sports-related question. Now, we do this every week. Again, I got to say this. Nothing vulgar. You know, vulgar screen name, no vulgar username, nothing. You got to tweet me something good. I only have time to get to one question this week. If I do not get to your question this week, please tune in next year, or not next year, next week. When we don't have the technical difficulties, and I'm not a little thrown off course by a little 10-minute delay to start, ask me next week. I'll try to get to it. I'll have more time. But the one question coming in today, Lyle Mac 23 asks, do you ever see college or high school athletes having agents one day? Athletes, college athletes, yes. High school athletes, I don't think so. I don't think that's a great idea. I don't think you should have an agent unless you're 18 years old. So I think that works. But for college athletes, it's this whole college sports debate and whether athletes should be paid or whether athletes should be getting some kind of cut of what colleges are making and the NCAA is making. That debate's going to go on for a long, long time, folks. But in the event it is resolved, that I think, let's just say athletes are permitted to make money, then I think agents are going to get involved. But let's not pretend that agents aren't under the radar involved with college athletes. That is definitely the case. Definitely the case. So let's not act like that doesn't exist, because it certainly does. It certainly does. But I think it makes sense. If there's going to be money involved, again, agents are just going to, like flies on poop, they're going to be all over that as soon as, like white on rice, they're going to be all over it when it happens. All over it. So I'm not going to be surprised when it does hit. All right, folks, I want to remind you to follow me on Twitter at Anthony DeMauro and also at Forbes Sports Money. Now, they're at Sports Money Blog on Twitter. Once again, that's at Sports Money Blog. And, of course, the podcast official Twitter handle is at Forbes Podcast. And, of course, go on over to Forbes.com/sports money to get all of your headlines, especially today with so much going on. The articles are going to be flowing over on the Sports Money section, and it's a different perspective. I really, really implore you guys to go on over and check that out. Once again, I do apologize for the technical issues at the beginning of the show. I will address them. Actually, it was completely out of my hands this morning. It was just a connection issue with Blog Talk Radio. But I do thank you guys for tuning in. Enjoy all the sports. We've got a hell of a night ahead of us. Be kind to each other. Enjoy the sports, and I'll catch you on the flip side. So who's a legend in this house? I mean, really? You think you're a legend? All right. It's game time. Let's find out.
I am a legend and legends are legendary. We are the legends and legends are legendary. It's legendary, the city is legendary. We're the Albany legends and we're legendary. You, me, us, we legendary. Repping the Cap City cause it's legendary. No competition and there's no adversaries cause the 5-1-8, it's legendary. I'm a legend, there's no question. Legendary flow with a legendary presence. We a slam dunk like Jordan in the 90s. It's like, where's Waldo? Goofy Sears can't find us. He can't see us, and he can't play us. Above the rim, CD can't contain us. But these other teams are sleep like the matches. You check it out.